One of the biggest issues impacting the outcome of the business rescue process is because it's got a negative consequence for senior management, they often leave it a bit too late to actually go into business rescue to save the business. And that's why so many business rescues processes fail. But here's something I'd not considered. What happens if you go into business rescue? It's all going very well, nicely, thank you. And you exit too soon, and a year or two later, you start having to do dramatic and painful restructurings anyway. Belinda Scriber is Director of Dispute Resolution at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr. You suggest that this may very well is the case with Ster Kinnecor, which is going 2 years after its business rescue, exiting business rescue. It is going through that very painful process itself. Belinda, good evening.
Good evening, Bruce, and to you and your listeners. Yeah,
so
I mean,
is this the case?
It's very difficult to say that this is the case. I mean, everything's very fluid, and it was a great success story when it came out of business rescue to show what an amazing business rescue process it had gone through, and to show the success of business rescue in and of itself. I think it's a bit harsh of us, I think, to say that it came out of business rescue too early, because there's certain parameters in which a business rescue practitioner has to measure whether there's been a successful business rescue. And once those parameters have been met, then he's got to file, implementation of the business rescue plan. And saying that there's been substantive implementation of the plan is you saying that it needs to come out of business rescue and it's ready to go on its own footing without the business rescue practitioners. I think there's around the success, there was a lot of praise about it going into early rescue. So I think that's where a lot of people are wondering how this could happen after a successful business rescue. And, unfortunately, it's raised these questions.
Who makes the call to exit business rescue? I mean, when you go in, it's management sticking up their hands and saying, look, this is something we can't manage. We are not going to be able to without substantial restructuring, and we don't have the wherewithal to do it. We don't have the rules and regulations to do it. It has to go into business rescue so that it can do dramatic and radical things like, unfortunately, let people go, close operations, whatever the case might be that is necessary to do. So we're going into that business rescue process. We no longer manage it. It is in the hands of this individual or this team of people who are going to see whether or not they can salvage anything and then, put it back into the public domain a little bit later. That process works, fairly well when it is done with integrity. When it's time to come out of business rescue, how does that process work? It's not something I'd ever actually considered. Nobody rings a bell and says, today you are clear and can go out into the world again. It's got to be a judgment call, hasn't it?
It's a bit of a judgment call, but it's also very much dictated by the contents of your business rescue plan. So what is great about business rescue is that when a decision has been made, either by the court or by the directors, that the company needs to go into business rescue, once it's in the hands of the business rescue practitioners, the practitioners have to set up what is called a business rescue plan. And in that business rescue plan, they've got to set up how they perceive the business rescue is going to go and why it's going to be successful as opposed to going into liquidation. And that plan then gets voted in by the affected parties, which include the creditors, the employees, the shareholders. So once it's in the plan and the plan has been approved, then that plan is almost set in stone. And the business rescue practitioners are obliged to follow the parameters of that plan. The great thing is that, they can propose a plan, but there can be almost a sense of negotiation with the affected parties as to how the final plan will look. So once that business rescue plan has been adopted, published and adopted by the affected parties, then the business rescue process goes according to the plan. And once that plan has been substantively implemented, and you could say that's a judgment call on the business rescue practitioners, but it is. I mean, if it's substantive implementation of a business rescue plan, then the business rescue practitioners are obliged to then take it out of rescue to say, we've complied with the plan, we've done what we've needed to do in the plan, and therefore the plan's been implemented and it needs to come out of business rescue. So I think it's a bit difficult to say that, they made an early judgment call on this because they would have followed the plan and the parameters of the plan. So substantive implementation, means that you can come out of business rescue. That's the long and short of it.
It's been 2 years since Sir Kenny Core left Business Rescue, and when they left, they would have done so based on information available to them at the time and the assumptions of the environment and on the basis that they'd ticked the boxes and were in a better state than when they went in. The trouble is that's not when the work stops the work never stops. And you've then got to adapt to your new environment, of course, and be relevant to your market. And there's a huge amount of criticism of Sturck and Accor, the price of tickets, the price of snacks, the fact that the real estate doesn't seem to be leveraged as aggressively as it could be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's very easy from the outside to judge others' hard times. What do we learn about this? I mean, this is a really important lesson, I think. I mean, Sturck and Accor going through a process of having to cut jobs, having to reduce its footprint, and it feels almost like a mini business rescue all over again.
For sure, agreed. I think what people must bear in mind is that if Sturck and Accor hadn't made the judgment decision in the beginning when they did, then a lot more of jobs would have been lost. And they might not be a Sturck and Accor. They might have had to go into liquidation. So it's a really harsh move for them now to have to, after coming out of a successful business rescue that's been praised over again by business rescue practitioners and everyone involved, and rightfully so. I think it was a successful business rescue. But The summary of the story is that just because it comes out of business rescue and it is an amazing success story, it doesn't mean the hardships of what was going on in the business is necessarily gone away. And I think you're right. The price of tickets are, people are having to prioritize now. And unfortunately, we're in a global economy which is requiring people to cut down on luxuries. And we can criticize the price of tickets, the price of snacks, but at the end of the day, it is a luxury, and people are, as I said, people are needing to cut down, and this is probably one of the key areas where people are like, I can sit on my couch and watch a movie. And then again, there's another factor that plays into it. It's quite complex, right? You're streaming and you're getting movies that more easily accessible at home than you've ever been able to do it before. So why would you pay the price of going to a cinema and buying snacks? And as you rightly said, when you can, at a nominal price compared to that, you can do it at home on your couch. So, yeah.
Exactly. It's not nearly as romantic and it's not nearly as much fun. But when it comes down to counting pennies, absolutely. Entertainment has fundamentally shifted. Thank you, Belinda Scriber. Fascinating insight. Director of Dispute Resolution at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr.